Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 72. Today's date, July 25th. Today's podcast will focus on two things. First, Tom Thibodeau signs a three-year extension with the New York Knicks. We'll take a look at everything overall with the Knicks, not just with Tibbs, but other coaching news, new assistant coaches, what they've done in the offseason draft, summer league, as it's been a really successful offseason with the Knicks, and expectations are high in Gotham. Next, we'll just do like a big Olympic preview. I'll give you what my thoughts is in regards to who could be the top scorer for the U.S. team. The top three-point shooter is a giveaway. I think you know who it is already. Who's going to lead the team in assists? We'll also look at the tournament winner and what I feel is going to be the matchup in the gold medal game. Not only that, I'll give you a little bit of my thoughts leading into the game coming up this weekend for both the men taking on Serbia and then the women taking on Japan. Let's get started in today's podcast with news out of Gotham. As yesterday, first reported by Woj, Tom Thibodeau has signed a three-year extension to remain the coach of the New York Knicks. And it's a fascinating tale, folks, because I'm going to be honest with you. There were points a couple of years ago, not after the season where they lost to Atlanta in the first round, but right when they got Brunson, where I said it was going to be a critical part of Tom Thibodeau's tenure in New York. Because Tom Thibodeau, if you look at his time in Chicago and in Minnesota, after a really good start, his teams kind of seem to fall off the map a little bit, and he kind of wears his players out. So I thought Tom Thibodeau going into the 22-23 season was in a little bit of a hot seat considering how they were in 21-22. But man, has he turned it around. And this team has taken on the personality of their coach, and their coach has a personality that is New York City. Tough, grinding, defensive, no holds barred. We muck this game up and we make you play it our way. And Tibbs has been rewarded, and he should be rewarded for what he's done with the Knicks. I want people to understand something right now. Do you know with this three-year extension that Tom Thibodeau signed through the 27-28 season, ready for this, folks? If Tibbs makes it through this deal, do you know he's the longest tenured Knicks coach since Red Holtzman? Yeah, the Red Holtzman that won the NBA Finals in 70 and 73. So this guy will be longer than two great Knicks coaches that we've had in the last 30 years, and that's longer than Riles, and that's longer than Van Gundy. So that is a testament to what we have now in New York, and that's stability. And when you talk about stability, folks, you have to give your flowers to Leon Rose. Actually, let me backtrack. You got to give your flowers, ready, folks, to James Dolan. The same James Dolan that hired Isaiah Thomas. The same James Dolan that hired Larry Brown. The same James Dolan that stepped in when Donnie Wallace didn't want to give up the farm for Carmelo, wanted to wait to free agency, and gave up the farm. You know why James Dolan finally deserves flowers in this, folks? It's because he stayed out of the way. He's given the job to basketball guys, and he's letting them do their job. So shout out first off to James Dolan for what he's done in regards to staying out of the way and giving the keys to Leon Rose, to giving the keys to World Wide West, and giving the keys to the team to Tom Thibodeau and letting them do what they do. So when you think about the offseason with the Knicks, this is almost the bow, right? This is the cherry on top. So let's talk about the free agency and the offseason for the Knicks. Number one, they re-signed OG Anunoby. This was such a big trade that they gave up guys like Barrett and Quickley in a first-round pick. People were nervous. that OG may have was going to leave. First things first, folks, the Knicks could have offered the most money. Number two, I think OG's agent is Leon Rose's son. So, and three, he fit Tibbs like a glove. Catch and shoot three-point shooter, especially from the corner. Could defend one through four. Shoot, folks, he guarded Embiid at points during that first round series versus Philadelphia. So getting OG to come back was huge. Domino number two, Brunson. This guy gave up $113 million. Josh Hart said it best. Build that man a statue on 33rd and 7th. Build it now for Jalen Brunson. Because you're having a guy that changed the game in regards to giving money back. It is not about me. It's about we. So getting Jalen Brunson to come back, $113 million less. Now, folks, understand that if he goes max deal next on an opt-out, he's going to get, I think he gets about 80 or so million of it back. But he showed sacrifice for his team. But before that domino hit, before OG signed, the first domino was getting Mikal Bridges. A Mikal Bridges that is so dynamic defensively. It's amazing what they've become. Because you look at the Knicks, and with OG Anunoby and Mikal Bridges, they have the best combo lockdown defenders in the league. And when you put together a team like this, you have to look at sometimes, who are you trying to take out? And that's Boston. To get Bridges, who is a catch-and-shoot guy from the corner like OG. A guy like Bridges, who can guard one through four. They have now pieced together guys around Brunson that give him driving lanes, but protect him and Julius Randle defensively now. You add Mitchell Robinson coming back. If he's healthy, he's the best offensive rebounder in the game. He's an elite shot blocker. So now three of your four guys are locked down. And then you have a point guard that has guys that can space the floor. And then you got a guy like Randle who needs to be respected more outside of New York City than in New York, because the guy can absolute ball. And he's going to benefit from having shooters too. But it brings more than that, right? It's the depth, right? It's the depth that the Knicks now have that is crazy for a guy like Tibbs who plays these guys way too many minutes. It's Josh Hart off the bench. It's DiVincenzo, who was arguably one of the best two or three three-point shooters after the trade of R.J. Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley. It's Deuce McBride, who took a big, big step last year when he got the chance and he got the minutes. So when you look at this Knicks team, they secretly have depth. So now Tibbs doesn't have to play his guys 40 minutes a night. But the Knicks decided when it came to the draft, they were going to continue to attack it. You signed campaign before that, or right after that. 1 year, $3.1 million, vet minimum. A campaign that if you watch part of that series, Knicks Sixers, campaign gave the Knicks fits. His shot is herky-jerky. It may be ugly. It may be a knuckleball, but that thing finds a way to go in. Then they, with the draft, they take a guy like Pacome Dadier, who is a project at best, right? But he showed something in summer league, the ability to defend. But then in the second round, they had two home runs. Number one, they took Tyler Kolek out of Marquette. And Tyler Kolek was one of the best floor generals in college basketball, and a guy that's tough, who's big at about 6'2", I think maybe almost 6'3", right? They 6'1", but tough at 195 pounds, can drive the ball lefty, and is really good in the pick and roll game. So you look at a Tyler Kolek that now in that second unit, because there's rumors that he may be the backup point guard, you're going to allow Tyler Kolek to now come off of that ball screen going left like another lefty point guard at Brunson. And then all of a sudden, things kind of take shape. When you think about Tyler Kolek, he's sneaky good, about 75th percentile in pick and roll as a ball handler, and 95th percentile as a shooter. So we'll see how he does it in that case here. But I think Tyler Kolek helps him a lot. Then they go get the kid Hoc Porty, which I thought first game, I'm like, this dude trying to dunk everything. Then I saw him kind of around the basket, little push shot, does some things here where I'm like, it'll be interesting. So it'll be interesting to see with whether it's Hoc Porty or Jericho Sims or the Knicks try and get one last piece, which is a backup big. Precious Achiuwa may be on the line, be someone to be talked about. But really quick, the Knicks did two other moves this offseason that aren't getting a lot of notice. Number one is the addition of Maurice Cheeks, a.k.a. Mo Cheeks. Mo Cheeks was one of the best point guards in the early 80s. Defensive, smart, saw the floor. Johnny Bryant leaves and goes to Cleveland to be with Kenny Atkinson. Why? Folks, simply put, Johnny Bryant and Donovan Mitchell were extremely close. We're not getting Donovan Mitchell, so he might as well go to Cleveland. Mo Cheeks is one of the better assistant coaches, head coaching experience, gives tips to someone else on the sideline and someone that Brunson and Kolek can lean on as a point guard. But then the one that really took me is the same day that they announced Tibbs' extension, they got Mark Bryant, who last year was with Detroit, who did a great job of unlocking Jalen Duren. The same Mark Bryant that did a great job in unlocking DeAndre Ayton when he was with Phoenix from 2019 to 2023. The Mark Bryant, local guy, played at Seton Hall, is one of the best big man coaches in the league. So now the Knicks have stability at the top with James Dolan staying out of the way. With Leon Rose, Worldwide West running the front office, with obviously Tibbs coaching the team. They have a team in the mold and the toughness of New York. Folks, Knicks fans, we've been waiting for this for 25 years. When Van Gundy left in 2002, he resigned. No one thought it was going to take us 22 years to say, maybe the Knicks are back. The Knicks are back. The question is, can they hang the first championship banner at MSG since 1973? There's a team north of them called the Boston Celtics, and the team a little bit west of them in the Philadelphia 76ers. It's going to have a lot to say about that, but still exciting times in New York City. Let's move on to the Olympics. As the USA will tip off on the 28th in their first game against Serbia. Lions are out, USA minus 12 and a half. Now, if you looked at this, folks, the USA has already played Serbia. They played them in an exhibition game, and the USA won in an absolute blowout, 79. And if you were to look at that game, the United States were close early, and they blew the game open in quarters 2 and 3. They held the Joker to only 6 of 19 from the floor, 16-11. He had the worst plus-minus at minus 27. There has been a lot of talk about how this team has played, particularly their performance against South Sudan and Germany. I'm going to say this. Play the game live. If you want to go ahead and if they have odds out for them minus whatever 3 or 4 points in the second quarter, do that. Because I think the United States is going to figure it out as they start to go. They're going to run guys in and out of the lineup, and they're going to try and wear teams out. Second quarter, third quarter. I wouldn't play this game pregame. This would be a live play. Also, when you take a look at it, try to see if the team total over. Because when you look at a team like the United States, they have an abundance of guys that can score the ball. And I don't look at a team like Serbia and say, they got lockdown defenders. Does that make sense? Let's go to my thoughts and overall props for the Paris Olympics. First off, top score, Steph Curry, 2.5 to 1. Ant, 4 to 1. LeBron, 4 to 1. Durant, 7 to 1. AD, 8 to 1. Embiid, 9 to 1. Booker and Tatum, 12 to 1. Halliburton, 16 to 1. Bam Adebayo, 20 to 1. First things first, we don't even know if Tyrese Halliburton's getting any time. Because Derek White's done past him on the rotation. Because I think they don't trust Halliburton defensively. So let's take him out of it. Simply put, we don't know what Durant's going to be either, because Durant hasn't played in any of the exhibition games. He should be ready to go. Embiid is to look better, 9-1. I'm looking squarely at LeBron James at 4-1. When you looked at the last couple of games, South Sudan, right? You look at, South Sudan game, LeBron, 23 minutes, 8 of 11 from the floor, 25 points, led the team in scoring, obviously got the game winner, right? You look at Germany, down the stretch, give the ball to LeBron, 20 points. Curry will have games where he goes off and gets hot, but he'll have games that he'll be cold. LeBron is going to be more consistent. Ant may not play down the stretch of games because they may not trust him defensively. Plus, you got to think about the fact that LeBron's going to be on the floor. And a secret thing to look at, folks, how much does LeBron play the four? When they play LeBron at the four, particularly I watched during Germany, it was Daniel Theis. Like, Daniel Theis is a good pro, but he can't check LeBron. So if they play LeBron at the four more, and I think they may, that's going to be interesting to watch. Is LeBron James. I like LeBron at 4-1 to lead the team in scoring. Three-point shooting, I'll pull up the odds. Steph is minus 500. Okay, done. Next. He's going to lead in three-point shooting. I mean, let's be honest. When one of my concerns for the U.S. team is who's going to be the guy that knocks down shots from three. Yes, I've heard it from Scotty Farrell. I've heard it from Kadob. I've heard it from all my friends. They can shoot. I know, but who is the three-point shooter? It is Steph Curry. Steph Curry will lead the team in three-point attempts. If you just look at the games, Germany, 7 attempts from three. He led the team in three-point attempts. You look at the game versus South Sudan. Steph Curry, 9 three-point attempts. Only one close to him was Anthony Edwards at 7. You look at the game against Serbia, Steph Curry, 9 three-point attempts. Next closest was Bam Adebayo with 5 three-point attempts. Bam is definitely no shooter. You look at Australia, and you look at the fact of, Steph took, 6 three-point attempts. Topped, only behind him was Anthony Edwards. So he's going to shoot it from 3. So if you want a layup, you can go take that, but the odds are just so terrible. Maybe you take that and you parlay it with something. But that means you're holding your money for the entire Olympics, and it doesn't make sense. Lead the team in assists. I'm going with LeBron because I think if we especially get down the stretch, they're going to put the ball in LeBron's hands and they're going to space the floor with shooters. So I think LeBron will lead it at, 1.5 to 1. I'm not touching Halliburton. Maybe you may want to touch Curry at 8 to 1. But to me, LeBron, Curry, Embiid, and if he's healthy, Durant. Those are 4 of your 5 starters. So you have to keep thought of props being there. And because of the fact that I think the U.S. is going to be in tighter games than people think, some of the guys are going to be playing big minutes. To make the finals, guys, I know. I'm worried about Spain. I'm not Spain. I'm worried about France. I'm worried about France. I am so worried about France. I think that's the matchup. Number one, it's in Paris. And yes, they have the eyes of their entire country on them. But it wouldn't be a great story in Paris if the French take on the USA for the gold medal. Two, Wembanyama and Gobert, 7-4, 7-1. I think those guys will present plenty of problems for the United States and other teams because of their height, because no one can match up to them. I think Canada's intriguing by 2.5 to 1. I just think France is the team that's going to get there. I don't trust Serbia's defense. I think USA has seen Germany, so they'll be ready for them. Greece is all about Giannis. I mean, I would dare say, if anything, I would put Spain, I think, is getting disrespected at times. Because I think Spain is obviously has been a basketball hotbed for a long time, and those guys play really well together. But USA France plus 190 as the matchup that I think in the gold medal game, which then means that the United States will win the gold. Now we're taking a minus 650, play them in game during games, let them go on their lull, jump on them, go cash some tickets. Not worth laying minus 650 for the U.S. to win. You're better off either trying to get the matchup, like I said, of USA versus France in the gold medal game, or, you know, just playing each game live for the USA. Last, the women. They haven't played since that 117-109 loss to the WNBA All-Stars. And their first game is against Japan. United States as minus 20.5 point favorites. Folks, Japan's in trouble. Because I think you'll get a really pissed off USA team on the 29th. And I think they're going to absolutely try and bludgeon them, because I think they need to kind of quiet everything that just went happen with the WNBA All-Stars, particularly the play of Arike Nwabuale, the double-double of Angel Reese. And obviously we saw how well Caitlin Clark did getting to double-digit assists. I think one way to look at the women's team and look at that game versus Japan is I would be looking at the team props. Right now, if you look at FanDuel, their team prop is 90.5 points. Folks, they're going to want to make a statement. They can all score. And they just dropped 107 against the WNBA All-Star team in a competitive game. I want people to realize this also. When you look at specifics, remember, WNBA, 4 10-minute quarters. Olympics, 4 12-minute quarters. NBA, 4 12-minute quarters. So 8 minutes of a shorter game in the Olympics. So kind of take that into consideration when you're thinking about points per minute, props, so on and so forth. Simply put, the United States, if they average about 2.25 points per minute, 2.3 I think it would be, will get over 90.5 points. I think they're going to absolutely blow out Japan. If you don't want to lay it at 20.5, I just saw 19.5 on FanDuel. I would go ahead and take the USA over 90.5 points. Shop around, folks. Try to get yourself the best deal. This has been the Betting Above the Rim podcast for July 25th. For all things sports gambling, download the SportsGrid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. Next podcast will shoot on Tuesday. We'll look at the USA's early performance. I'll give you my thoughts, and we'll slowly start getting into the NBA offseason. for my producer, Matty George, Vinny, who does a great job as always with the graphics. Thank you for listening, folks. Remember, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.